Well, thank you very much for the warm welcome. It's good to be here once again to represent the work and witness of the Trinitarian Bible Society. Since 1831, the Society has been promoting faithful and trustworthy translations of the Word of God. Just a few headline figures may be helpful to you. Last year, 4.5 million scripture items were published by the Society and distributed to the four corners of the earth. And we are particularly encouraged by the way in which the work is expanding. So 4.5 million represents a 25% increase on the previous year. But in addition, the large number of translation projects that we are undertaking. If you were to go back about 7 years, we had around about 35 translations under consideration. Now we have 101 languages we are working on. In addition, another 68 are under consideration. So we're looking to see what needs to be done with those and who can do it. It may well become they will be live projects as well in a few months or a few years' time. So we really are quite amazed how the Lord is working in respect to Bible translation and translators. Sometimes I'm asked the question, how do you find all the translators? Well, generally speaking, it's the other way around. They come and find us. The Lord lays it on their hearts. They realize maybe the scriptures available in their language already is not complete in some way or not particularly accurate, and they feel burdened by the Lord to provide something better. It's wonderful how the Lord has given remarkable linguistic abilities to a considerable number of people around the world, and they're coming into contact with us. We're working together to provide accurate presentations of God's word in many tongues. So we are particularly encouraged by the way in which the Lord is working in that respect. Just one or two encouraging things regarding the UK. Now, Bibles for Children in Schools is part of our work. We try to reach out where we can to schools to present God's Word, particularly to 11-year-old children who are due to leave the school that particular summer term. And we are particularly encouraged by a visit was made to a school in Hertfordshire last summer. I've been going to that school for 3 years in a row. It came about through a Christian mother who has children at that school. She's able to arrange the visit. Well, last summer when I went, I was told there'd be just 19 children due to leave the school, just a little village school. And they said one boy is from a Hindu family, and they assumed he wouldn't want a Bible. So they said, bring 18 Bibles. Well, I took 19 just in case, and I'm very glad I did, because after I spoke to the whole school assembly and the children were called up, this Hindu boy very gladly came to receive a Bible. A couple of days later, I had this message from that Christian mother. She said, I had some wonderful encouragement last night, which also reproved me for my lack of belief in God's power. The mother of the Hindu boy told me how pleased and grateful they are with the Bible, and that he's reading it already, and insisted on taking it to school yesterday so he could continue reading it. Apparently, his grandmother in India has converted to Christianity, and he is excited to talk to her about what he is reading from his new Bible. Well, that warms our hearts. We tend to assume certain people from certain backgrounds wouldn't be interested, but it's lovely to see the Lord working. We trust the Lord will bring much blessing to that family through this copy of the Word of God. We value your prayers regarding this aspect of the work of TBS. Another encouragement came in respect to a grandmother who was telling me a bit about her background. I took a meeting last year, and she said after the meeting, it's something I'd like to tell you, but it may take some time. So we had a phone call the next morning for about half an hour. She explained that for many years she had attended an Anglo-Catholic church, and then she moved on to another type of church. But then she came across a book by J.C. Ryle. You may know J.C. Ryle was one of the good Anglican bishops in the late Victorian era, and that was a great help to her. And she now attends a place of worship where God's word is taken very seriously. But she's found it, she said, very difficult over the years speaking to her three daughters about spiritual things. There's a kind of barrier. None of them are believers, so there's been a barrier. But back in the Platinum Jubilee, when TBS published these Platinum Jubilee Bibles, she decided to purchase a number of these for her grandchildren. So she wrote a text of scripture on the inside of the front cover and prayerfully left it with them. 2 years passed. One of her grandsons, who was then 15, said to his mother one day, "Where's that Bible Gran gave me?" Well, the Bible was found, and he started to read it. It's been the means of completely changing his life. He left off using bad language. He didn't take God's name in vain anymore. In fact, he pulled up his mother sometimes when she used bad language. Then it wasn't long before he said, "I want to go to a place of worship." So the grandmother recommended a place where the ministry would be sound. So as a result, you had the grandson and his mother under the preaching of the gospel. Sometimes the father would come along as well. Well, there's a lovely sequel to that. And that is, the end of last year, I was told that this young man has professed faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's due to be baptized upon a profession of his faith. And don't forget how it began, with the prayerful presentation of the Word of God. So let's be encouraged regarding the spread of God's Word. Our task is to sow the seed. Now, I was interested to notice the theme for next week that Steve is due to present to you regarding sowing and praying. Well, we are encouraged by those who sow the seed. They don't come back the next day expecting a harvest, do they? But they have long patience for it, waiting for the early and the latter rain. So likewise, when we sow the seed of God's word, we don't necessarily expect immediate results. God can do that if he wishes, of course, but often there's a longer term to consider. And God is pleased to bless our faithful and patient labours. So let's be encouraged by that, this aspect of the spreading of God's word. Now, something else that's quite important to tell you is that this year marks a very special anniversary. The 500th anniversary of the first publication of the English New Testament having been translated from the original Greek by William Tyndale. Now, Tyndale was a most remarkable man. I don't have time to tell you much about him, but he's born around about 1494 or 1495, about 20 miles north of Bristol up the Severn Valley, and into a yeoman farmer's family. So they were able to send him to university at a later stage, and he was a very intelligent young man. And God gifted him with great ability in languages. He was fluent in 8 languages by the end of his life. So he knew the biblical tongues, Hebrew and Greek, and other languages as well, and he employed those gifts in the service of God. He was aware of the great need of the people of England to have God's word in the English tongue. He realized that for most people, the Bible was locked away in the Latin language, and few people could read Latin. Those who could weren't particularly interested in the Bible. Gross darkness covered the people as a result. So it's through Tyndale's faithful labours that the Word of God came forth into English in an accurate presentation, and God blessed it to many, many people. It cost him his life, as you may know. He first of all fled to the continent for safety. He had to move from place to place trying to avoid the authorities. But in the end, he was arrested, and in 1536, he was executed. He was brought forth to the place of execution at Vilvoorde in Flanders, and tied to a stake, and he was strangled to death, and his body burnt to ashes. But before he died, he was heard to pray loud and clear, "O Lord, open the King of England's eyes." And within 2 years, that prayer had been answered. Henry VIII had a change of mind. He now believed it was a good thing for the people to have the Bible in the English tongue. So as a result, a new law was introduced, amounting to the Bible being made available to the average person in the parishes up and down the country. The Bible was to be chained to the lectern of every parish church so people could gain access to God's word. If they couldn't read it themselves, other people read it to them. So the work of reformation and salvation was going on apace through reading the word of God during those period of years. So we live in the legacy and benefit and blessing of Tyndale's excellent translation work. Now, if you're interested, TBS publishes a special commemorative edition of the Bible. There's a picture of the statue in London of Tyndale, and these are available for just £8. You're welcome to have a closer look. I'll leave it on the table at the back. Do also avail yourself of the opportunity of some free literature to help yourself to our quarterly record, plenty of good bedtime reading to help yourself. Also, this book here, William Tyndale, Apostle of England by Dr. David Allen, you'll find it's very helpful, very interesting. Then there's this one, more recently published, called The Fugitive Translator by Matthew Vogan. He's our editorial director, and this is more biographical. And this one here, again by Matthew Vogan, is more on his translation, The Costly Legacy of Bible translation. They're all free. Do help yourself to the copies available then on the table over in the corner. And if you're interested, I've brought a copy, a facsimile of Tyndale's 1526 New Testament. As far as we know, there's only one complete edition that has survived. It's on display at St. Paul's Cathedral, to understand the present time. But this is a photographic copy of that, so this is the size it would have been, known as duodecimo. Not quite pocket size, but at least it was portable compared to the large folio volumes that were published in those days. So Tyndale's quite a practical man, but do have a look. You'll need your Gothic glasses on to read it, because it's in Gothic script, Old English lettering. A bit like you have the title of Daily Telegraph, those sort of letters. And the spellings are very different to what we're used to. And he also abbreviated some words to make them fit into the line. So it takes a bit of getting used to, but once you attune to it, you start to read it fairly well. And spellings, of course, weren't standardized in those days, so in fact he spelled the word righteousness five different ways on the same page. That was acceptable in 1525. Well, 1525 I mentioned because that was the year he completed the translation. But it wasn't till 1526 that it was actually published, because an enemy intervened trying to prevent the publication of it. So Tyndale had to flee up to the Rhine to the city of Worms to have, in 1526, these New Testaments published. So a great work that cost him his life, but we live in the benefit of the work that he did all those years ago. I'll leave this on the table at the back. Do have a closer look.